All right. This is Psalm 115 and verse 14. He says, the Lord shall increase you more and more, you and your children. Then he says, you are the blessed of the Lord who made the heaven and the earth. Hallelujah. Now, that's a promise from the Lord. That's a promise from the Word of God. It's exactly what we've been studying over the last several weeks. The promise of supernatural increase. The fact that the Lord wants to bring accelerated and supernatural, unconventional increase into your life, into my life. Whether it's in the area of our spiritual lives, in our relationship with God, the place of knowledge, understanding, and wisdom in the things of the Spirit of God, our vertical relationship with God, or even in our influence for the kingdom of God. The Lord wants to help us become more influential for the kingdom of God. There's no reason for us to have joy, peace, to have all this love from our Heavenly Father, and we're keeping it just to ourselves. The Lord wants to use us, not just to showcase what He can do in the lives of human beings, but actually to also touch other human beings. And I pray that that is your desire and your vision, that you desire the Lord will use you. I know sometimes we get so deep into the area of talking about increased prosperity and wealth and things, that sometimes believers even forget what the purpose of increase is. We forget why the Lord brings increase into our lives in the first place. And the Lord has never been ambiguous about that. In Deuteronomy chapter 8 and verse 18, he says, but you will remember the Lord your God, for it is He that gives you the power to get wealth, so that, that's the purpose, so that He may establish His covenant, which He swore to your father as it is this day. Well, what is this covenant? His covenant, the covenant of Abraham, is to bless all the families and all the people of the earth. So in God blessing us and empowering us to increase, whether it is spiritually or financially or any other way, His purpose is so that He can establish His covenant, the covenant of God's blessings, which He made with Abraham, to establish that covenant in the earth. How does He do it? By bringing many more people into that covenant. How is He going to do that? Through you and through me. Through you and through me. So that as God blesses us, as God increases us in our little ways or sometimes in big ways, that testimony can become a draw, can become an attraction for people out there in the world. Some of them are nominal Christians who go to church, but they don't believe, they don't even know that they serve a living God who is still walking today. They think there's a God of the Bible who walked several thousand years ago, but they don't believe that that God is still at work in the earth today. But you and I know that He is. You and I know that He is a supernatural God. So the Lord, through what He does in our lives, He wants to influence, He wants to bless, He wants to establish His covenant in the earth. So He wants to increase us spiritually in our vertical relationship with Him and also in our influence for the kingdom of God. But He also wants to increase us in our lives and in our family. You see that scripture right there. It says, the Lord will increase you more and more, you and your children. So the Lord doesn't want to leave out any aspect of your life or your family from this covenant of increase. Part of the increase that God wants to bring into your life and into my life is also increase in our personal lives and increase in our families, increase through our children, increase through our children's children. So don't just get that increase. Don't just release your faith and believe God and get all of this teaching and instruction and vision for increase just for yourself. Make sure you are constantly spreading that, because God's blessings and God's promises and God's covenant is a transgenerational. It's a miracle and it's a supernatural work that cuts right across multiple generations. So make sure that as you are receiving the increase of God in your personal life, you are also sending it out into your children's lives, into your children's children's lives. If you don't have any children yet, make sure you are speaking it forth to that generation that is going to come through you. You know that is the promise of God. You know that is the plan of God, that there are others that are going to show up around you. When the Bible says God does not want you to be small anymore, it means that God is going to add to you. He's going to bring additional people to you. He's going to bring people from far and near, and he's going to add them to your family in the name of Jesus. Some of these people will be biological. Some of these will be spiritual. Some of them will be even in other ways, but people that will become beneficiaries of the blessing of God upon your life. So don't leave those out. In addition to that, God also wants to bless you in your vocation, in your career. The word of God tells us, whatsoever the righteous man put their hand upon to do must prosper. So the Lord wants to bless the work of your hand. Whatever it is you do, if you're a bus driver, if you're a tailor, if you're a dry cleaner, if you're a nurse, a doctor, if you're an architect, an engineer, if you're a pastor, a preacher, a minister, an evangelist, if you're a stay-at-home mom, stay-at-home dad, if you're a student, if you're whatever it is you do, God wants to bless the work of your hands. If you're a career person, if you're a business person, God wants to bless the work of your hands. He wants you to be fruitful. There is that aspect of his covenant in your life that is actually expressed through the fruits that you bear. And then finally, the Lord wants to bless you financially and materially. Financially and materially. It is the will of God that you and I have more and more and more financially and materially. It is not the will of God that we have less and less and less. Don't get me wrong. The enemy constantly works against the blessings of God in your life and in my life. Jesus said in John chapter 10, verse 10, he said, the thief cometh not but for to steal, to kill, and to destroy. He said, but I am come that they may have life and that they may have it more abundantly. Hallelujah. That's very much in line with this scripture we just read in Psalm 115 and verse 14, where he says, the Lord shall increase you more and more. Jesus said, I came that you may have life and that you may have it, enjoy it, and enjoy it until it overflows, until it spreads way beyond your minute or your limited confines. So that is the plan of God. It is the will of God that you increase financially, that you increase materially. Satan is constantly at work on the earth to diminish you and to diminish me. He's trying to take the resources that are ordained by God for you and for me. He's trying to sap away some of the blessings that God prepared in advance for us. He's trying to take those away so that we are not as impactful upon the earth for the kingdom of God. But the devil is a liar. I want you to be passionate. I want you to be resistant to all of his works, all of his maneuvers, all of his machinations. I want you to insist that the increase that has been ordained for you and for your family will become established in the name of Jesus. We'll be talking about some of the reasons why sometimes as believers we diminish rather than increase. Some of the things that are blockers to our increase. There are also things that they are the same things that block our vision. I'm going to talk to you about that in just a minute here as I go along. So the Lord's plan is to increase us, not to diminish us. But Satan is constantly looking for ways to diminish us. And there are tools that he uses, and I'm going to share a few of those tools with you as I go along tonight. But keep that in mind. The Lord wants to increase you financially. Whatever you had 2 years ago, God wants you to have more this year. God doesn't want you to have less. Your responsibilities are more this year than they were 2 years ago, than they were 5 years ago. And I know Satan may be doing everything he can to try to stop you and to try to stop the increase of God's flow into your life. But I declare to you, the devil is a liar. This is why it is important that we understand supernatural increase. Because we are working, when we understand supernatural increase, we come into partnership and into agreement with a supernatural God. And I tell you, this supernatural God cannot be limited. This supernatural God cannot be stopped. Any way the enemy shows up, any way the enemy manifests, anywhere he brings his tools to try to diminish us, this supernatural God can give us the upper hand to be able to enjoy increase that he has prepared for us. That's why it is important that will learn about supernatural increase, not just natural. Because if all you have is natural increase, my friend, if the enemy knows that the only way your blessings can come into your life is a job that you have, or a job that your spouse has, or some opportunity that you have, or some opportunity that someone in your family has, if that's the only way increase comes into your life, guess what the enemy is going to do? He's going to throw all his weight and make sure he shuts that avenue down. He's going to make sure that that avenue no longer exists. And if it exists, he's going to make sure that it's no longer as viable as God always intended it to be in your life. But if you are a God, if you are a child of God, and you are a partner in partnership with this supernatural God, guess what? When the enemy throws his little things in that one area, guess what? The supernatural God just translates you and creates new areas for you. Hallelujah. You may have read in the Bible where this man of God, Elijah was God's servant, and he was living in a very difficult time. It was a time of famine. And when this famine hit, it was supposed to be a three-year famine or three-and-a-half-year famine. The Lord sent him to go stay by the brooks. Brooks are like an area of water. Even though there was general dryness in the land, the Lord led him to an area of water. And around that brook, God saw to it that his breakfast, lunch, and dinner was supplied. And God saw to it that everything he needed was provided. How? Supernaturally. Even though there was a famine in the land, the famine did not stop his increase. Now, of course, in the course of time, the brook dried up. But guess what? God was not surprised about it. It didn't come to God as a surprise. Long before the brook dried up, the Lord already made a provision. So the Lord said to his servant, hey, I want you to go over to Zarephath. There's a widow there that I've already commanded. It's very interesting sometimes how the Lord works. Because the Lord told Elijah, I've already commanded the widow. But when Elijah arrived in Zarephath, in that city, the woman was acting like she wasn't expecting him. It was like, hello, who are you? This is famine time. And Elijah said, hey, I'm the servant of God. God told me he already talked to you about me. The woman said, no. The only thing I know is myself and my son, we have this little food here. We want to eat it and die. And Elijah said, no, you will not eat it and die, because the Lord said he has commanded you to become the channel of my increase for the next few days. The woman said, uh-oh, I had no idea about that. See, that's the way the supernatural God works. There are things sometimes that pop up that are surprises. And sometimes even the channels that are used to create these blessings in our lives, we're not aware. God just raised them up supernaturally. God just woke them up one morning, gave them sufficient resources, and said, today you are going to be a blessing to my servant. You don't know it yet, but around 5 o'clock this evening, you are going to be a blessing to my servant. I love it. So that's why it is important that we understand how supernatural increase works, that we are not limiting God to just the natural things that we know and we have. Now, we've learned a few powerful things over about supernatural increase. We've talked about joy. We have to have joy. That's mandatory. Don't let the enemy take your joy. If the enemy can't take away your joy, it's just a matter of time before joy will produce increase in your life. We've talked about the power of knowledge, understanding, and wisdom. Nothing just happens. You may remember this line. Nothing just happens. So it's important we learn not to blame God for the things that are going on in our life. Knowledge is powerful. The knowledge you acquire and the knowledge you put to work will determine your increase in this season of your life and in your future. Nothing just happens. If increase is going to come into your life tomorrow, it's going to be based on knowledge that you acquire today. Nothing just happens. Hallelujah. So grow. Keep on growing in knowledge. Keep on using the knowledge that you have. Keep on gathering knowledge. Keep on being passionate and hungry and thirsty for knowledge. And gather knowledge spiritually. Gather knowledge physically. Gather as much knowledge. Don't just do your 9-to-5 job. No. Don't allow life to bury you in this monotone of just trying to pay your bills and just trying to stay above water. Don't let that happen to you. Insist that you are going to get everything that God has for you. One of the ways you do that is that you are passionate and you are going after knowledge. Last week, we finished where we ended our lesson. Was we were reading about Abraham, and I was saying to you, don't settle. Do not settle. Wherever you are, I know for all of us, it took us a lot to get to where we are. It probably took you a lifetime to finally arrive at where you are today. But I'm saying to you, wherever you are right now, is just the beginning. God is not done with you yet. God still has increase that he wants to bring into your life. So don't settle. Well, we read about Abraham last week, and we saw that because he did not settle, the Lord increased him. And I know we ended up somewhere there in Genesis 11. Genesis 11 verse 31, in the Amplified, it says, Terah took Abraham his son, Lot the son of Haran his grandson, and Sarai his daughter-in-law, his son Abraham's wife, and they went forth together to go from Ur to the from Ur of the Chaldees into the land of Canaan. But when they came to Haran, they settled there. They settled there. They were not supposed to settle there, but Abraham's father settled there. Now, I want you to understand that even though they settled there, God was not yet done. God still had a plan for them. God still had a plan of increase. God still had a Canaan land he wanted to take them. Hallelujah. And unfortunately, Abraham's father, Terah, died in that land of Haran. But after his death, the Lord came back to Abraham. In Genesis chapter 12 and from verse 1, in the Amplified Bible, the Bible says, now in Haran, the Lord said to Abraham, go for yourself, for your advantage, away from your country, from your relatives and from your father's house, to the land that I will show you. He says, and I will make you a great nation, and I will bless you with abundant increase of favor. See, that's supernatural increase right there. And I will make your name famous and distinguished, and you will be a blessing, dispensing good to other people. He said, and I will bless those who bless you, those who confer prosperity or happiness upon you, and I will curse them that curse you, or those who use insolent language towards you. He says, and in you will all the families and the kindred of the earth be blessed. He says, by you they will bless themselves, in you they will be blessed. This is the plan of God for you. The Lord wants to take you from wherever you are today to a place of abundant increase, abundant favors, and abundant blessings. So God is not done with you yet. Abraham is the prototype of this covenant plan. Now, how did God establish this in Abraham's life? We've read already in Isaiah. You don't have to go there. I'm going to read it out to you. In Isaiah chapter 51, you can just stay in Genesis. I'm going to come right back there to Genesis. But in Isaiah chapter 51 and verse 1 and 2, the word of God says, hearken to me, you that follow after righteousness, you that seek the Lord, look unto the rock from where you were hewn, and to the hole of the pit from whence you were digged. And he's basically talking about our origin, saying we should remember where we came out of. We were a chip off of the block. In verse 2, he says, look unto Abraham, your father, and unto Sarah that bare you. He said, for I called him alone, and I blessed him, and I increased him. Hallelujah. He says, I called him alone. So you see, when God called him out of Haran, God said, I called him alone. Obviously, when God called him, God also called his wife because he was married to Sarah. I don't know about Lot. I don't know about some of those other people that he went with, because some of those people created problems for him later on. But God is specifying here, because God actually also mentioned Sarah's name. He said, I called Abraham. Of course, that means Abraham and Sarah. I called Abraham, he says, and I blessed him. I called him alone, and I blessed him, and I increased him. That's why Abraham is such a central piece in our understanding of supernatural increase, because he is the prototype. He is the example that we have to follow. God said, I called him alone, and I blessed him, and I increased him. I want you to make this confession of faith with me. Say, the Lord has called me, and he will bless me, and he will increase me. I want you to say that one more time over yourself. Say, the Lord has already called me, and the Lord will bless me, and the Lord will increase me. Amen. Amen. Hallelujah. Abraham is the prototype of this covenant plan. Now, I want you to notice that because Abraham didn't settle, it was easy for God to bless him and to increase him. Now, I want you to stretch your imagination a little bit, and I want to ask you, how did God bless Abraham? In how many things? Did he just bless him spiritually? Did he just bless him in his relationship with God? Did he just bless him in his covenant, in his vertical relationship with God? Did he just bless him because he was a great man of God? Oh, no. God also blessed him in his family. God blessed him and his children. Then God blessed his vocation. God blessed everything that he put his hands upon. And then God blessed him financially and materially. God blessed his physical body. God blessed his mind. God blessed his health. God blessed his relationships. God blessed everything about Abraham was blessed. Everything about Abraham was blessed. No wonder in Genesis chapter 24, verse 1, when the word of God is giving us a summary of Abraham's life, it says there, now Abraham was old and advanced in years. So that means he had long life. He had the blessing of long life as well. He says, and the Lord had blessed Abraham in all things. And the Lord had blessed Abraham in all things. Let me ask you, in how many ways did God bless Abraham? Say with me, in all things. I'm going to ask you one more time. It's not a trick question. In how many ways did God bless Abraham? Say with me, in all things. In all things, including longevity, including health, including favor of life, including his children, including his children's children, including his vocation, his work, including materially, including financially. How did God bless Abraham? In all things. Hallelujah. God blessed Abraham in all things. Now, every blessing of increase, every blessing of increase, once we have gotten past the importance and the place of joy, and we have paid attention and we are continually paying attention to the place of knowledge, understanding, and wisdom, every supernatural increase begins with vision. Every supernatural increase begins with vision. Now, if you haven't written this down, maybe you've not been in one of the services where I actually gave this list of four items. I'd like you to write these four things down. These four things are prerequisites for increase. They are mandatory for increase to happen in our lives. Number one, there must be visions of increase. There must be in your life and in my life. If you are going to have increase, you must have a vision of increase. Number two, vision is not enough. There must be instructions for increase. Sometimes believers fall short because even though we have visions of increase, you can listen to messages like this for 4 weeks, for 5 weeks, and not finally come to a place where you have a vision of increase, unless there is something not right somewhere. But if everything is going well and you are listening to the word of God and you are meditating the word of God and you are studying the word of God and you are putting to work what you are learning, there is no way, some way or the other, you will not begin to have visions of increase. But having a vision of increase or having visions of increase is not good enough. In addition to having visions of increase, there must be instructions for increase. There is a way that increase comes into your life. Hallelujah. There is a way that God inspires you, God directs you. There are ideas. The Bible even calls some of these ideas. It says there are witty inventions, knowledge of witty inventions. That just simply means things that your natural, ordinary mind didn't concoct, things that came to you beyond the operation of just your regular, everyday, simple mind. Knowledge of witty invention. There are ideas that pop up in your heart, in your spirit. Don't you despise the place of imagination in your life. There's so many believers who don't recognize the place of imagination. They don't realize many times that God actually uses their imagination to release increase into their lives. Remember those people in the Tower of Babel who were trying to build this tower to reach heaven? These people were not necessarily, they were not necessarily super spiritual people. They just knew how to engage the faculties that the Lord wired them with. And one of those faculties was their imagination. And the Bible tells us they began to imagine that they could actually build a tower to get to heaven. And when God came down to look at it, the Bible said God looked at them and said, wow, these people, they are united and they have imagination. And they have knowledge. Wow. And God said, nothing they have imagined will be kept from them. Nothing they have imagined. Notice, imagination is one of the way instructions come to us. Sometimes people think God only speaks to super spiritual people. Actually, no. No, actually, no. In fact, most of the people, most of the wealthiest people, the people who enjoy some of the greatest increase, I'm not saying these people are blessed like Abraham were blessed, but I'm saying you can be blessed like Abraham was blessed and still have the blessings of wealth. A lot of those people actually were not that super spiritual at all. Many of those people just knew how to engage their imagination. They knew how to pay attention to knowledge of witty inventions. They knew how to pick up the vibes of ideas that come up within them. A lot of them, watch this, a lot of them knew how to give place to the instinct, that's a powerful word, the instincts that come up within them. A lot of them just have this leaning sometimes, many times which they cannot even understand. Some leaning from within their subconscious that drives them to walk and move in a certain direction and maybe make an investment, or maybe try to create something, or maybe research how to work on something. Just that basic instinct, a lot of times, is how God brings instructions into our lives. And again, I'll go over this list later on when I get to talking about instructions to you, because it's very important that you understand how the Lord brings instructions for increase into your life. There are a lot of believers who have vision, and unfortunately, everything ends with vision. They don't know how to take the next step beyond vision and get instruction for increase. Because every increase God is going to bring to your life, once you have vision, has to come with instruction. So there's instruction for increase. That's the second one. Then the third one, those are actions or pursuits of increase. So you have vision, you have instruction, and then there must be actions and pursuits of increase. What does that mean? It means when you have this instruction, anyhow they come, any way they come into your life, unless you do something about it, they will produce nothing. Unless you actually do something about it. Dreaming is not enough, my friends. When we get to action, I'm going to delve into this a little stronger for you. Dreaming, there's so many dreamers. They say, oh, I have a dream. Yes, yes, yes. Praise God, it's great to have a dream. But remember, the man who was credited with that line, I have a dream, didn't sit at home doing nothing. In fact, he eventually gave his life for that dream. That dream must compel you to action and must have you make certain steps, take certain steps that will eventually bring increase in the area of your life where you are believing God for. That's actions and pursuit of increase. And then the last one is determination for increase. Determinations for increase. Because when you begin to take those steps, like I said earlier, Satan, that is our enemy, the devil, is going to throw things, not only the devil, sometimes the world, and sometimes even believers, immature believers that are on top, or believers that are on not spirit-led, or believers that are so deeply in the flesh, sometimes can be used by the devil to create diminishing effects in our lives, to create assault on the increase that God wants to bring into our lives. And so believers have to be determined. You have to have determination for increase, where you say, well, I don't care what it is. I'm taking these steps that came out of the vision that I had for increase, that came out of the instructions that I received, that came out of the actions that I've started taking. I'm going to keep on taking these steps until I see them produce. And so the failure or the disappointment or some of the initial results you see that may not necessarily be encouraging, those do not matter. Those do not faze you. Why? Because you have determination for increase. Now, those four things are extremely important. And then again, of course, like I said earlier, before we wrap up this series of teachings, I'm going to touch on each of those things a little at a time. But tonight, before our time is all gone, let's talk a little bit about that vision of increase. You already know what vision is. Your vision is ability to see something that may not necessarily exist in the natural. Your vision is your ability to see something that may not necessarily exist in the natural, but that confers or communicates to you possibilities that actually exist. These things you see, which maybe nobody else sees because they don't exist in the natural, they create an awareness because they communicate to you possibilities that currently in the natural do not seem apparent. That's what vision is, your ability to dream, your ability to see possibilities with God, your ability to lift up your eyes and see what nobody else is seeing, your ability to perceive things that nobody else can perceive, your ability to see pictures painted within your heart. It's almost like sometimes you can live in a place before you are actually living in the place. That's what vision is. Your ability to see increase. Hallelujah. Glory to God. So no matter where you are today, no matter where you are, no matter what your experience is, your ability to see something different from what your current reality is vision. That's vision. Hallelujah. Your ability to see yourself with more, your ability to see your family being enlarged, your ability to see little children running around your house, even though right now there's no child there, your ability to see yourself employing people and paying people and running enterprises that right now do not exist. Maybe right now you're just struggling to even hold on to a job. That vision, your ability to see it. Now, vision always involves lifting up your eyes. Why that is important is because lifting up your eyes is required for you to be able to see beyond where you are. If you don't lift up your eyes, all you are going to see is right where you are. Just do this exercise for a minute. Wherever you are, if you are sitting or if you are standing like me, or if you are laying down on the bed, I hope you are not laying down and snoozing or sleeping. Or if you are doing that, God help you. That means you are not getting knowledge tonight. But wherever you are, I want you to just take a look at your feet. Take a look at your feet right now. This is an exercise. Take a look at your feet. What do you see? Somebody say, I see my feet. That's right. You see your feet. What do your feet represent? Your feet represent where you are standing right now. That's what your feet represent. If you keep your eyes stuck on your feet, you will never get a vision for increase. That is, if you keep your eyes stuck right where you are, if you keep your eyes down, because remember, in order to look at your feet, you have to look down. And your feet represent where you are standing right now, or where you are sitting right now, or hopefully you are not laying down on the bed or on the couch, where you are laying down right now. Hopefully you are active, you are sitting up somewhere. But regardless of where you are, standing, sitting, laying down, whatever, if you just look at your feet represent where you are right now. Your feet represent the ground you have already walked on. That's what it represents. It represents a land you have already taken. It represents something you have already accomplished as your feet. So there is a difference between looking at your feet, which is looking down, and looking beyond yourself, which is looking up. looking up and looking afar off. Looking up and looking afar off represents something you have not accomplished. And that's what vision is. It represents something you have not yet accomplished. So do a little exercise with me tonight, regardless of where you are, your family, regardless of what your status is, what you do, your job, your business, your ministry, whatever, your status in life, whatever that is. Your feet represent that. So you've already looked at your feet. Now, I want you to lift up. Now, in order for you to look beyond where you have already arrived and to look into a future that you have not yet experienced, you are going to have to lift up your eyes. I want you to do that. Lift up your head and lift up your eyes. Notice, in order for you to lift up your eyes, first of all, you have to lift up your head. That means you have to agree with God that there is a higher place. If you have your head stooped down looking at your feet, what you are doing is you are confined to where you have already arrived. But when you lift up your head, you are agreeing with God, there's something higher. There's something higher. That's why man was not created to crawl on the ground. Have you noticed that? Man was not created to crawl. Man was not created to walk on all fours like dogs. Or like goat or cattle, right? Man was created to walk on their two feet and to be erect. Man was created to stand up, and their head was created not to be stooping down, but to be looking up. That's why one of the greatest punishments God ever gave to a man who would not acknowledge his greatness, who would not acknowledge God's sovereignty. One of the greatest punishments God has ever given to men like that is the punishment of making them crawl like animals. You remember that man in the book of Daniel, Nebuchadnezzar, who eventually became like an animal, crawling, because that's one of the biggest differences between man and animals. You know, there are these confused people. They say they are atheists, they say they are evolutionists, they say they are whatever it is, terms they call themselves, and blah, blah, blah. They're just confused. And one of the things they tell us is there's no difference between animals and human beings. That's wrong. Wrong. Wrong, wrong, wrong. Notice, man was created to walk. And not even to walk. Most animals who walk on their two feet, they are not erect like man. They don't have that ability to lift, and in fact, they don't have that compulsion to live their lives and live their lives lifting up their head all the time, looking up to heaven and looking up ahead of them. That's how man was created. That represents vision. You notice animals don't have vision. Notice, animals have never built. Yeah, they might build maybe a little thing in the mud, you know, a little thing in the ground. But notice, they can't build a tower. They can't build a house. Yeah, they can't. They cannot. They don't have vision. They can't build a car. They can't. You can train them. Even some of the best dogs, the best trained dogs that there are, can understand things. They can read, maybe sometimes read our emotion, understand us because they've been around us for so long. We can speak to them. They can understand what we say. They can make us laugh. They can do funny things. But notice, they can't build. Now, they can break things down, but they can't build. Because it takes vision to build. It takes vision to mount up with wings as the eagle. Hallelujah. It takes vision to fly and to ride in a high place like where you've never been before. That's how God created you. God created you to have vision. Now, I just want you to size up yourself tonight. My time is going. I'm almost done here tonight. I just want you to size yourself up, because the vision that exists in your life will determine how much increase can come into your life. We said exactly the same thing about joy. We've said exactly the same thing about knowledge. How much vision there is in you will determine how much increase God can bring into your life. Notice, Abraham, let me take you back there. You thought I was off my script, but I'm not. Look at Abraham. The Bible says when he called him, so I want to send you to a place where you've never been. call you out of your father's house, and then I'm going to bless you with abundant increase, and I'm going to multiply you, and through you, the nations of the earth are going to be blessed. But notice, one of the first major things you notice about Abraham is the place of vision. He's constantly lifting up his eyes. He's constantly looking beyond. Even this original call, notice the original call that God gave him. In this Genesis chapter 12, the Lord said to him, come out of your father's house. That's represented by his feet. His father's house is represented by where his feet have already arrived. He said, I want to call you out of your father's house. Then he said, I want to take you to a land that I will show you. Isn't that what he said? That's what exactly what he said. He said, I'm going to take you onto a land that I will show you. What is show? How do you show somebody? What does showing somebody something represent? It represents vision. It represents vision. I'm going to take you out of your father's house where your feet are planted, and I'm going to show you. I'm going to take you to a place that I'm going to show. Notice, he's going to show him first before he's going to take him. If God cannot show you, he can't take you. If you can't have a vision for change, if you can't have a vision for increase, if you can't have a vision to rise, then God can't take you there. You are limited or enhanced by the vision that exists in your life right now. So do me a favor. Do a check. Check your vision level. Assess yourself. What do you see? Are you looking down at your feet? Are you constantly doing that? Some people are even very bad, like Lot's wife, constantly looking back. That one is even horrible. That one's horrible. They are not even looking at where they have arrived at. They are looking at where they came from. And you know, Lot's wife couldn't make it, unfortunately. She couldn't get out of town because she couldn't get away from where she used to be so that God could take her to a place where she had never been. I pray that your story is different. Look around yourself. Lift your head up. I hope you're not looking down. Lift your head up for yourself, for your family, for your children, for your business, for your career, for your ministry. I want you to look up. Look up. Close your eyes for a minute, but look up. Lift up your head. Look up. Look up. Look up. In the spirit, look up. When you close your eyes, when you lift up your head and you close your eyes, I want you to see greatness ahead of you. Greatness that you have not yet touched. I want you to imagine that. We've already done that before. So I'm not gonna have you do that the rest of my 5 minutes here. Quickly look at the scriptures. Keep quickly. Quickly. Look at Genesis. So we're in Genesis chapter 12. I want you to look at Genesis chapter 13. It's just one chapter after the Lord called him. Look at Genesis. Chapter 13. Look at what it says. Genesis 13, verse 1. Abraham went up out of Egypt, he and his wife and all that he had, and Lot went with him into the south. When you get to Genesis, I want you to go all the way down in Genesis chapter 13. I want you to look at verse 14. Genesis chapter 13, verse 14. The Lord said unto Abraham, after that Lot was separated from him, lift up now your eyes. Lift up now your eyes and look from the place where you are, northward, southward, eastward, and westward. He said, for all the land which you see, to you will I give it, and to your seed forever. Glory to God. Not the land that you think, not the land that you talked about, but the land that you see, he said. All the land that you see, northward, southward, westward, eastward. Remember, this is shortly after Abraham got out and responded to the call of God. When he went to Egypt, he's coming out of Egypt, and the Lord said to him, lift up your eyes. Lift up your eyes. Go quickly to Genesis 15. I'm going to wrap this up real quick in a minute. Look at Genesis 15. Genesis 15, from verse 1. After this, the word of the Lord came unto Abraham in a vision, saying, fear not, Abraham. I am your shield and your exceeding great reward. Abraham said, Lord, what will you give me, seeing I go childless? The steward of my house is this Eliezer of Damascus. When I come back to you next week, by God's grace, I'm going to talk to you about these enemies. I thought I was going to get to you tonight. Obviously, I can't. But I'm going to get to it, into it next week by God's grace. I call them the enemies of increase. They are vision blockers. They are diminishing agents. And I want to show them to you. They are the things that stand in the way of your vision. They are actually also the things that stop you from receiving instructions for increase. And I want to show those things to you because I need you to radically fight those things and eject them from your life if they are still there. No matter how much joy you have, no matter how much knowledge you have, no matter how much vision you are trying to get, if these enemies of increase and these vision blockers, if they are in your life, you will not see. The Bible says, if your eyes are single, your body will be full of light. But if your eyes are not full, if they are not single, then it says that your path is going to be unhealthy. So I'm going to show you four major things that constitute vision blockers that stop increase. They stop increase in their track. But let's close this out tonight. So you are there in Genesis 15. Look at verse 2. Abraham says, so that we've read verse 2. And the verse 4, behold, the word of the Lord came unto Abraham, saying, this shall not be your heir, but he that shall come forth out of your bowels. And he brought him forth abroad and said, look now towards heaven. And tell the stars, if you're able to know. What is God having him do? He's having him lift up his eyes again. Go all the way down to Genesis 17. Sorry. Go all the way down to Genesis 22. Genesis 22. Remember when the Lord called him, and this was the ultimate test when God was proving him finally. In Genesis chapter 22, it came to pass from verse 1. After these things that the Lord did test Abraham, and said unto him, behold, Abraham said, he called him, and Abraham said, here I am. And he said unto him, take now your son, your only son Isaac, whom you love, and get you into the land of Moriah, and offer him there for a burnt offering upon the mountain which I'll show you. And Abraham rose up early in the morning and saddled his ass, and took two of his young men with him, and Isaac his son, and cleaved the wood for the burnt offering, and rose up and went unto the place of which the Lord had told him. Then on the third day, look at this, Abraham lifted up his eyes and he saw the place afar off. When he saw the place afar off, he prophesied to his servant. He said unto his young men, you abide here with the ass, with the donkey, and I and the lad will go yonder and we'll worship, and we will come back to you again. So he saw, the Bible tells us in the book of Hebrews, he actually saw God. He saw himself sacrificing his son Isaac, but he also saw God raising Isaac back up. Now, further down in Genesis 22, you notice that when Abraham raised up his hand to slay his son in verse 10, then in verse 11, the angel of the Lord called unto him out of heaven and said, Abraham, Abraham, and said, here I am. And he said, do not lay your hand upon the lad, neither do thou anything unto him, for now I know that you fear God, seeing that you have not withheld your only son from me. And verse 13, Abraham lifted up his eyes and looked. And behold, behind him, a ram that was caught in a thicket by his horns. And Abraham went and took the ram and offered him up for a burnt offering in the stead of his son. And Abraham called the name of the place Jehovah Jireh. As it is said to this day, in the mountain of the Lord, it shall be seen. That word Jehovah Jireh, the Lord our provider, the Lord our supplier, actually means the Lord will see to it. Notice, if you can see it, if you can see it with your spirit, if you can see with the eyes of your heart, the eyes of your vision, then the Lord will see to it. This is a very good place to close out tonight. It's 9 o'clock, it's almost 9 o'clock. Let's close it out tonight. When we come back next week, let's talk about those vision blockers and then spend some time talking about instructions and how these instructions come into our lives and what we need to do with those instructions. Then talk a little bit about the actions for increase. Talk a little bit about determinations for increase, and then we'll be ready to close out this series. Did you receive something tonight? I trust God you did. Let's just thank God together tonight for his word, for instruction, for inspiration that the Holy Spirit gave us.